smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, number 18. I'm Fred Green. Well, today we're going to do a little bit of both. We're going to ask Kenny and we're going to have a guest. But I wanted to start with a couple questions. And if you have a question for Kenny that you'd like him to answer on the show, please go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the button labeled Ask Kenny. And of course, if we use your question on the show, we'll send you a free Golf Better Edwin Watts Golf hat. The new hats are in. They look great and we're sending them out. So hopefully you've already received yours if it's been a while since we promised one to you. Hey, Kenny, how are you?
I'm good, Fred. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. We're going to have Dan Stone from Titleist on in a few minutes and talk about the new irons that have come out from Titleist. But there's a couple questions, since we're at the beginning of a season, there's a couple questions that came in that I thought would be fun to go over. And the first one from Chris Coughlin in Monahawkin, New Jersey, says, Kenny, I was wondering what you thought about all the clubs in your bag having the same grip. I'm going to regrip my irons. However, my woods and hybrids are much newer and really may not need new grips. Also, if I buy a club from Edwin Watts Golf, can I have a specific grip put on the club?
Very good question, and I'll answer that with, I just put a new set of irons in play in my bag about 2 weeks ago.
What'd you get?
And my wedges, I've actually got some Callaway FTs that I'm playing
really?
Right now.
You dropped your pings. Wow.
So, but I kept my same wedges, and my wedges actually had this problem. They had a different grip on them than what my Callaway irons had on them. So, to me, when I went out there, I didn't realize it until I was on the course playing, and it made a huge difference in feel for me. So, the first thing I did was got my wedges out and put the same grips that they had as my irons. So, I think it makes a big difference. And to answer his other question about if he can get a certain grip put on an iron when he orders it from Edwin Watts, and the answer to that is absolutely yes. In a lot of cases, there might not be an upcharge for that unless it's considered a custom grip for that manufacturer, and they'll charge a few dollars more per iron. But I think it's very important to get the correct grip on a golf club when you're ordering it.
And when do we know it's time to change? Should we just change it at the beginning of each year, or is there a way of feeling or looking at the grip to know that it's time to put some new ones on?
You should be able to look at the grip and see if there's a lot of wear in certain areas on the grip, or if it starts to get a little bit hard and maybe a little slippery, it's time to change your grips.
All righty. Well, Tim Kennedy had a question. He's from Carmel Valley, California, and he says, Kenny, when selecting new grips, I'm a bit confused with all the choices, soft, medium, etc. How do you know without trying them what is the best and what type of player uses a soft or medium grip? Two questions.
Well, I mean, the play, personal preference has everything to do with grip, how it feels in your hands. Obviously, if you go to a golf shop, especially an Edwin Watts store, you can sample a couple of the grips in your hand to see how they feel to you. And another good thing to do is walk around the clubs that are being displayed in the golf shop, because every manufacturer typically will use a little bit different type grip, and see which one feels good to you, even though it might be Golf Pride Tour Velvet and say Titleist on the grip itself. Actually, Golf Pride does make a Tour Velvet for the regular consumer that just says Golf Pride on the grip. So that's just an example of one way to go out there and try to find out a grip that might be comfortable to you. I typically, and what the majority of the players on tour use, I believe, is a Golf Pride Tour Velvet. It's a really soft, comfortable grip that I think has a little bit of longevity to it as well.
All right, we have one more question, and I'm going through these rapidly because I want to get to Dan. This one comes from a Holly Nicholson with no address, but it says, I just got a new Prince hybrid chipper, and I'm doing pretty well with it. But I played in a tournament 2 days ago, and I had about a 20 to 30-foot shot to the green. It was a short hole and a par 3. There was water to the right and water behind the green. I tried to hit my chipper, and I hit it over the green, and I thought I'd not hit it that hard. I am not used to hitting my chipper. Do you have any suggestions on how to hit it onto the green but not over it? I'd really like to be able to improve my golfing. And it's signed here, Holly Nicholson, a.k.a. your daughter.
Very good. Obviously, she was doing something at home that I wasn't aware of by sending a question in. The first thing I would do, Holly, is I would probably get a new coach. obviously, just kidding. Her father, being me, is her golf coach. And I was actually at the golf tournament. She ended up winning, I might add. But and it was a par five, not a par three. She had hit two really terrific shots.
She was playing
shots.
It like a par three.
She had hit two great shots to get where she was, and she literally had about a 30-yard chip shot just straight up the hill to the green. And she, what she did is she hit her chipper, she bladed it instead of hitting down on it. So she picked up on her left side, and there was a little creek behind the green that she actually hit the ball into. That being said, like we tell everybody on the show, and what I told Holly after that particular shot and after the round of golf, is the one thing that we're going to concentrate on the next time we go to the driving range is going to be those chip shots from, 10, 20, 30 yards out, and how to get them on the green, especially at her age. She's only 12 years old. The main thing I want to do is get her on the green. She putts really well. So we're going to focus in that area that's really – it's free for anybody that goes to the golf course to practice. On the driving range, obviously, you're paying to hit a bucket of balls. But over there at the practice green is where a lot of people lose a lot of their shots. I mean, she's laying three in front of a par five and ends up making – 8 or 9 on the hole because of the shot, and it's one of those things where you can practice for free and you can minimize a ton of strokes just with practicing a little bit each time you go out there.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome, Holly. I'm proud of you.
All right, Kenny, well, it's time to move on and invite our guest to join us. From Titleist, we have the Vice President of Club R&D, Dan Stone. Dan, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you on the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf Podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you very much for spending the time with us today. Now, it seems like Titleist has introduced 4 new sets of irons to the marketplace, and that's why we wanted to bring you on to explain the technology behind it. Why don't you introduce us to what Titleist has in the market right now?
Well, these products have been in the works, obviously, for some time now, and there's 4 specific models in the iron category. ZMZB, AP1, AP2, and we really focused around, of course, the PGA Tour professional and developing a product that was specific to their needs. In more of a muscle back category, we have ZM and ZB having a cavity, and then the AP1 and AP2 programs are something that AP2 developed for the PGA Tour specifically, but it's kind of a replacement of our 755 series. And AP1 is more for the aspiring player, which is kind of new for us from some of the past products that we've introduced. So it was a tremendous launch for us and kind of branching into some new categories.
Explain what you mean by aspiring player.
Well, this is the guy that basically is your 5 to 10 handicap player, and also 0 to 10 and slightly above that. But a guy who wants to, who is really a golf guy that really needs a little bit of additional help. Maybe his ball speed's slower, and he's from his younger youthful years. Or he's a young amateur who doesn't have quite the ball speed and would like to play a product that is a little bit more forgiving and also wants it to be a Titleist product.
So none of these lines are really for the weekend hacker out there. These are the guys who are either on tour or play competitively on a regular basis.
Competitively, I would say, but aspiring player could mean, somebody who, for example, in our AP1 category, I wouldn't call it hacker, but there's a lot of players that could benefit from a product like this. AP1 has great inertia characteristics. It goes after some really top irons in the marketplace, and is really a fantastic product that I think a lot of players are going to find surprisingly forgiving.
Oh, that's always helpful.
We had, this is Kenny, Dan, we had the benefit yesterday of having all of our sales staff here go to a private Titleist demo day yesterday at our local golf course. And right. we have every different kind of ability golfer that works here, from the scratch golfer all the way up to the 25 handicap, and mm-hmm. which is a huge benefit for us. So when we go to the driving range, you know, I might be standing there hitting golf balls with one of the sales guys who's a high handicap. You know, he might be anywhere from 18 to 25 or what have you. And I can look at what he's hitting and be able to tell, you know, hey, that club does fit him. He can play that club. Or if he's playing, you know, say the AP2 and he's an 18, 19 handicap, that club's not exactly designed for that type of player. But I can tell right. you this, that those guys were hitting the AP1 irons yesterday in front of me, and I'm talking about our medium to higher handicap players, right. and they absolutely loved the product. Right. So I would say that your weekend warrior can definitely still play this iron. It has those different characteristics that have a little bit lower center of gravity, a little bit larger sweet spot. It's a little more offset to help get your hands in front of the ball. He is still that aspiring player that wants to be better. And I did see it being as that type of game improvement club that helps that type of player.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with it. And that was really the target. But we've got the AP1 is kind of a unique animal in the sense that it has a kind of a wide audience, if you will. There's a lot of good players that are playing the product as well as the weekend warrior, as you call it. So it has a wider audience, and we're you know, delighted to find it seems to expand every day, you know, that we hear comments from the field. But the design is meeting its objective.
Well, this is probably questions that should be sent over to a marketing guy. Let's get into the development of these clubs. What is the technology behind the new AP irons?
Well, the technology is got a tungsten nickel material. About a third of the weight of the golf club is made out of tungsten nickel, and that's something that's not obvious. This, I'm talking about AP2 and AP1. Both mm-hmm. products have this tungsten nickel material kind of welded to the product itself, and that allows us a tremendous flexibility in terms of positioning and center gravity and inertia characteristics, and also making a golf club look like a golf club, not being ultra wide on the sole, for example, so that in the long irons you have a product that the aspiring player would find an issue with. So the material itself allows us a lot of flexibility to develop some geometry, and we call this geometry the tungsten nickel box. And that box is really just that. It's kind of a dual cavity approach to positioning CG again in the right location, and it adds an element of stiffness to the club. And I say stiffness in a good sense. We're not talking about shafts here. We're talking about just the head. So that stiffness translates into feel. One of our objectives in these products was to take some of the elements of a muscle-back product, muscle-back, you know, the 695s, the ZM product, those great feel where people, you know, often go to the blade and there's certain feel characteristics that they really walk away with and they say, God, that just has a certain feel that. And we tried, what we did in our lab was to try to quantify that. And so we have developed some frequency IP or patents surrounding this technology where we're taking elements of feel from those products and incorporating them into easier to hit, higher inertia products, let's say, for the aspiring player. So, you know, and there's two elements, the AP2, for example, the 755 replacement, it has a totally different feel than the 755, and is really a result of this tungsten nickel box concept that adds the stiffness necessary to give you this fantastic feel, or this feel that we've heard for so long from people who play the muscle-back irons, and they want to have that feel incorporated into other products that are more forgiving.
Dan, this is Kenny. What are the big differences that the consumer is going to see between the AP1 and the AP2 as far as visual aspects? We talk about this tungsten nickel box. That's not a visual characteristic of the golf club, although we know it's there. What are they going to see? What are they going to see just by looking at the two golf clubs?
Well, blade length, offset stand out as the two main elements. The other is blade length of the AP1 is obviously longer, 100 thousandths or so longer, and the top line thickness is another key feature. You know, the top line thickness in the AP1 is substantially wider in the address position. Offset, obviously more offset in the AP1. Those are features that are traditionally, as you're trying to get a higher ball flight position. And AP1 has stronger loss as well, but so you kind of offset that a little bit by adding some offset to the AP1 to make sure that the ball flight is reasonable. Those are the key elements. The hosel would be another one. The hosel design is a little bit more of a underslung hosel on AP1 as opposed to more traditional. But it's not. AP1 has some very, we tried to maintain the Titleist the design in terms of developing that hosel geometry, and we spent a lot of time on it. And I think that's one of the key features that, if you're looking for a golf club that's forgiving, and a certain ball flight, a lot of clubs that are designed in that category have a tremendous amount of offset. AP1 has just the right amount of offset that's not going to offend a lot of players, and we make up the difference in that tungsten nickel with the CG location being, appropriately positioned, so that we don't have to add dramatic offset, because that sets a different tone. A lot of players are turned off by too much offset.
Yeah, aesthetically looking, it's a great looking iron. The top line has just enough thickness to it that you can look at it and feel very comfortable with being able to work the ball, yet not too much that it just feels like a game improvement type iron. I think one of the things that's really surprising to me is how much success the AP2 iron is having out on the PGA Tour. Can you tell us a little bit why that might be?
I think it goes back to feel. Number one, the feel component and performance characteristics mixed together is something that tour players, we were present when Adam Scott was first playing the product, and he's really, he'd come out and hit a few irons out at TPI. His set hadn't arrived yet that morning. That particular morning, he hit a few shots with his older irons and said, "I'm going to wait on my set." He kind of immediately just adopted the AP2 feel and performance characteristics, and he was looking to get, the ball flight a little bit higher launch angle for him with not too much additional spin. So it really helped his ball flight. In terms of that compared to a more muscle back product. So I think tour players who are looking for a little bit of forgiveness but want to have that look at address and the feel, it's feel is such a difficult one to quantify, but so important for these players. So when they get an iron that has a certain forgiveness associated with it, and they get a feel that they're looking for, it's a fantastic combination.
Yeah, it's something that we discuss a lot in doing this podcast with the listeners, is how to quantify that word feel to them. There's a combination of obviously golf ball and the product that you're playing, and if can you get too much feel or not enough feel and those things. But you've done a great job of determining that for us.
I mean, we've quantified. We have quantified feel in the research group. Without going into a tremendous amount of technical detail, the frequency ranges of muscle back products, for example, we've quantified that. But it's matching when you blow up the golf club and make it larger, going from a compact head to a larger head. You start to give up feel. You start to change the feel characteristics or the frequency ranges. And that's something that you have to be very careful of. And that crossbar that you see in the back of our iron that really distinguishes our iron is there for a reason. And, you know, unlike other, this is not a wood product. This is an iron product. We're not looking for ball speed or trampoline effect out of the face. But that bar going through the central part of the face is part of the reason that it feels so good, because that element stiffens the product to a degree where those harsh low frequency noise or vibration is attenuated, and that's part of the magic of it.
Dan, you have a great stable of players available to you on the tour to give you feedback. How much input do the players have before the product hits the market, or do you develop the product with your team and then put it out there and say, this is what we've got, what do you think?
Oh, that would the latter would be a disaster. we don't pretend to be... We have to be inclusive of tour players. That's what Titleist is all about. If we developed in a silo type of environment, we would not be successful on tour or otherwise, and our company is very much supporting the tour and depending on tour. We rely on each other. So our process is to get our tour staff involved. We've got Larry Bobka, Steve Mata, who are go-to guys for us in terms of getting feedback from them first before we present it to tour players. We are kind of working together as a group in R&D with our tour staff. Rick Nelson has been very instrumental in our iron development. It's kind of a collaboration of that team first, if you will, until we get the product to a certain stage. And then when we feel that we're ready, we will take it out to the, kind of the amateur better players first and do some very rough testing. And then we will invite certain PGA Tour professionals. We'll kind of hand select a few guys that we work with, and then we'll broaden that approach if the feedback is reasonable. Otherwise, there have been times we've gone out, we don't want to use the PGA Tour as a proving ground at the same time for hey, let's see if it works. When we present it to those guys, we really have a 98% confidence factor that the product is going to fit their needs, but we still need that feedback. There is subtle tweaks, grinds on soles, things of this nature. The trailing edge of the AP2, for example, was an interesting development in the sense that Greg Cesario, who handles a lot of key accounts around the country, is not necessarily related to the PGA Tour, but he's a great player. He and I worked together, along with Peter Gilbert, who's in charge of our iron program, in developing, this trailing edge that, he came up with the comment, and we proved it out with testing, that when you take the club back, it tended to drag for certain players. So we're saying, how can we tweak that a little bit? And that trailing edge grind solved all the issues. The tungsten nickel that we talked about earlier allows us to make a sole that's not too wide. Well, the AP2 is one in which, it's dominating right now. I think we have 18 sets in play on the PGA Tour. But tour players don't want to have a club, depending on how they take the club back, they don't want to have anything that drags. So we added that bevel that was very important in the performance of the product. So it's a collaborative effort in the beginning with our tour our tour staff, and then it goes out to the PGA Tour.
And when you get to that level of player, is their feedback fairly consistent, or does it really get into nuance there?
It can be all over the board at times. But one of the things that was consistent about this particular product, and that's why we knew we had a winner, was in the feel category. The performance category, we kind of knew what the performance was going to be like because we predict performance in the research, you know, with virtual analysis. We know what the performance is going to be like before we build it from a trajectory point of view. So there weren't any surprises there, but feel is always a difficult one. We can predict frequency ranges, but it's difficult to predict those frequencies, how they're going to be received into the player's hands. And like I said, we're developing some really good correlations now, and the AP2 by far is the best. It's the best feeling product that we've made in that category.
You mentioned at the beginning of the conversation that there were four new sets of irons coming out, the
right.
AP1, the AP2. Why don't you give us a brief introduction to the ZM and the ZB?
Well, ZM and ZB, it's a classic small blade, minimal offset forging, and is replacement for the 695 series. But, you know, the Z design is really the essence of both products. Is that Z design in the back is really for positioning weight more toward the toe. In the compact forging world, you have a tendency with the counterbalance of the hosel, you can have a product that gets too heel biased, and in order to position that weight properly so that you have a centered CG, the design of that back really is developed to properly position it. So that's the essence of the product, and it really offers, when you're talking about ZMZB AP2, which we have we had Billy Mayfair played AP1s for a little while at the initial part of the season. But we, as of right now, we don't have any AP1 players on PGA Tour. Not a surprise to us, but like I say, AP2 dominates. And with ZMZB and AP2 for our PGA Tour players, it offers a fantastic suite of products to fit their needs. You know, some guys are going to be blade guys, and they're going to stay blade guys. The ZB is a little lower center gravity. It has a little wider sole to get the ball, another degree of launch angle or half degree of launch angle. So a little higher ball flight. And ZM's, has more of a muscle back, a little lower ball flight with traditional offsets. So it's a pretty good suite we feel like there's not a player that we haven't been able to fit in one of those irons.
Dan, this is Kenny again. Obviously, the ZM and the ZB is not going to be the club for the masses, but for that guy that is the real traditionalist that has a fairly decent golf game,
right.
From the look of the golf club aesthetically, it is just absolutely, I think, one of the prettiest golf clubs you've ever made.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. Our team did a fantastic job, and like I say, the hosel design on products is extremely important. Top line and hosel are two of the most important elements of the design that we feel like we do a really good job of in terms of, and that's where the feedback from the PGA Tour really, that's the essence of getting great feedback. Shaping is something that we get a tremendous feedback from our tour players.
One of the other questions that we get asked a lot are shafts. And if you
right.
could let us know what shafts are available in these golf clubs.
Well, we on AP1, the Dynamic Gold High Launch is a new product from True Temper. We are kind of a launch partner with that particular product. It's a great shaft. We were looking for something with a little bit more of a responsive tip, but in the Dynamic Gold family. And we wanted to make sure that as we put the combination of loft and inertia characteristics, that we got a ball flight that was reasonable for these players. So I think that shaft is really key in the success of the product you talked about earlier. It's going to fit a pretty wide range of players, and it's of course lighter, but offers some of the characteristics of Dynamic Gold and has that good tip responsiveness to kick the ball up in the air a little bit and get an extra degree of launch, and great feel characteristics. I'll go back to feel again, because in AP2, or both of these shafts, Project X on AP2, we did a tremendous amount of testing at TPI, and since we put such an effort into the head design with frequencies, we wanted to complement that work with having an even better shaft component in terms of making sure that, because obviously the feel in your hands is the vibration travels from the head through the shaft into your hands. Part of it also is acoustics. Project X for us was something, and it was a decision that was a little bit different than our previous approach, which was to stay with the Dynamic Gold, traditional Dynamic Gold. But Project X was one of those that we looked at, and the feel, it came back time and time again. So the feel of that product was much more preferred than Dynamic Gold. So in this particular head, so it's kind of a, we would still recommend that for players, that custom fitting is the way to go in terms of selecting your own shaft and those designs. But for our stock shaft, we wanted a shaft that we felt really complemented the feel and performance characteristics of the head.
This is why we love to get engineers on the show, because I think that a lot of golfers love their toys and they love to hear more about the background of it. And this is really what we were hoping for. Thank you.
Well, great. I'm glad. Hopefully it's been some help to your listeners, and we look forward to doing it again.
Well, good. Now, one of the things that we like to do before we leave the show each episode is to give something away. And since you've been talking about these AP irons so much, what would be the possibility of letting one lucky listener win a set of AP1s?
I think that would be well suited for the occasion. So
wow.
Hopefully that listener will give you a call back, or give us a call back, and let us know how it goes.
Oh, well, I'm sure they'll be sharing a lot of stories and photographs with us.
Okay.
Dan, thanks a million. Fred, real quick, in that fine print on that contest,
yes,
registers,
Kenny,
page, are we excluded?
Well, no, actually, they're going to provide us with two sets, one for me and one and one for the winner.
Yeah.
And you could just walk around your showroom, Kenny, pick what you want, and go play with it. You were the one who tested them out yesterday, man. Come on. All right,
Dan, that's awesome. Thanks a million.
Well,
hey, thank you. It was very enjoyable.
Well, there you go. A chance to win a set of Titleist AP1 irons. That is pretty spectacular. To enter to win, go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the word contest and fill out all the information. And we'll have a drawing for these on the next episode, which will be May 1st. So the deadline for entry is April 29th, 2008, and we'll announce the winner on May 1st. Well, Kenny, that's really special, very generous of
you
to do that.
I'll tell you what, that is incredible. I'm very excited. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, what's amazing is because of the last show, we had the folks from Callaway on, and they talked about all the new interchangeable shafts and heads and wanted to give away a Callaway iMix driver. And we have received 318 entries for that one, and I'm sure we're going to receive more than that for For the AP1s. But let's talk about now these 318. You, my friend, are stuck with the the chore of picking a number between 1 and 318. I sorted these randomly, and the winner is going to be from what city, Kenny?
The thing is, you they're randomly sorted, so they it doesn't matter sorted. When you enter. You could enter first and be 318. So, I mean, that's a true. Large number. I get yelled at for never going high. I'm going to go with number 300.
All right, number 300 is from Castle Rock, Washington. He's getting a little nervous now because, Randy Shields, you have just won the Callaway iMix driver set. So we're going to have to be in touch with you to find out your specs. Kenny, there you go.
That is incredible.
Randy Shields.
Congratulations, Randy.
So, Kenny, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks, buddy.
Thank you, Fred. Take care. It's been a pleasure.
And before we go, I want to talk about a couple more things. First of all, I received an email from somebody recently that said, what's with the bubble sound effects going on in the show? And I apologize for that. I didn't know what he was talking about until I listened back and realized that's a funky, weird thing about Skype. And that's what we do this phone call on, is Skype just has these effects that come through. I've never been able to figure out why they're there. There's a little text messaging going on actually between Kenny and myself during the show, but that's not the bubble sound effect. So I wish I can explain that, so we apologize for that. But if you ever wondered why we're putting in these strange sounds without a theme, that's what it is. And remember, as a listener to the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf Program, including Golf Smarter and Golf Smarter Tips, you receive 10% off any purchase, and you get free shipping for any order when you do it from Edwin Watts Golf or edwinwattsgolf.com especially. Now, there are some restrictions that apply, and some of the shipping may not be free overseas. They can't do that. But to get the discount and free shipping, go to golfbetterpodcast.com and click on the underlined words that say click here for more info. It's going to give you full instructions on how to obtain your 10% off and free shipping. Now, if you've done it before and you need to know the code, when you check out, the discount code that'll last through June 1st, 2008 is GSMART1. Okay, and those are all caps and numeric 1. That's GSMART1. To receive your 10% off with some restrictions and your free shipping. So, thanks so much. We appreciate all your feedback and hope that you will continue to provide us with feedback. If you have any questions for me, go to heyfred@golfsmarterpodcast.com. If you have a question for Kenny you'd like him to answer on the show and we use it, you'll get a free hat. That's the Ask Kenny button at golfsmarterpodcast.com. And of course, we love to get your feedback on the show, especially in iTunes, because this is the time of year where golfers are checking out podcasts, they're discovering them, and they want to know more about golf podcasts that may help lower their scores or learn about more equipment. And that's what we provide you on both Golf Smarter and Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. Thanks again. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks for another episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf.